the church there, become the interim pastor for a while, and we had a good friendship, still do. I just don't see much because of, well, I'm not there and he's not there, so that's why we don't see each other. Amen. Good to have you tonight. Now, next week is the time change. So I would try to explain it to you, but every time I have, I've messed it up. So just be here, all right? All right, just be here and thank the Lord. I'd like for you to take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to the book of Genesis again. We are in chapter 42, and we'll make some remarks as well in chapter 43. And I want you to notice tonight we're going to deal with a God who knows all. The God who knows all. And I'm thankful today we have a God who knows all. As I come here, I want to think of two different sections here. I see Jake, the boys have come back home, except for Simeon, but the boys are back home with their dad. And what we're going to find here is Jacob complaining. And then we're going to see Joseph's confrontation with the brothers as we move on here today. So look here with me. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, meet with us tonight as only you can, because you're God, the God who knows all things. And I thank you for your blessings to be able to be here tonight. In Christ's precious name, and all God's people said. As we come to this chapter, we notice the boys had come to visit Egypt to try to get food. And guess what happens when they get there? They met that brother who 20 years ago they sold for 20 pieces of silver. Now they're back down here, and as they're back down here, we realize God is going to do something in their life because we have a God who knows all things. But look at Jacob. The boys have come back home, and we notice here as we go to verse 40, verse 35 and 36, and I've highlighted these verses in my Bible because here we see in this particular section several things about Jacob. Now, Jacob is not one of my favorite Bible characters because he just is a little dishonest, and God is working in his life. As you know, he lied to his father about his brother when his father said, who are you? And he said, well, I'm Esau. And then later on, he had to repent of that. But now we come down here. We look at verse 35 and 36 particular in chapter 42. And it came to pass, now they're back home. You remember what Joseph had done. They had all the money returned to the boys, as well as giving them plenty of food to eat. The Bible says in verse 35, and it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. The word afraid here is a strong word. Literally, they were terrified at the thought of what happened, how the money got back in the sacks. Well, God arranged that. Joseph had arranged that because he's trying to get into the place of repentance. And sometimes God will do strange things to get us to the place of repentance in our lives. It's interesting. Then we come to verse 36, and we read this verse. I want you to notice several things here as we look here. I want you to observe horizontal thinking. What is horizontal thinking? That's thinking on this level. Well, we need to be thinking on the vertical level. And notice what Jacob says here in verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. Simeon is not, and you'll take Benjamin away. Remember what Joseph said, don't come back until you bring Benjamin with you. And now you want to take Benjamin away. Notice what he says here. All these things are against me. Basically what he is saying here, that God's against me. If you say all things against you, then you conclude that he was saying that God is against him. This is Jacob at his worst. It is good that our reactions to difficult decisions are not printed in a book for everybody to read. Wouldn't that be something? If all of your reactions to your problems were printed in a book and passed around, I think we would all be in serious trouble how we handle our problems. So this is horizontal thinking. We just met with the pulpit committee, and I'll guarantee you one thing. We're not thinking of horizontal thinking, right, fellows? We're thinking of vertical thinking, because God will bring the right one here, and we want that vertical thinking more than we want horizontal thinking. Then we notice not only that horizontal thinking, but I want you to notice the hopeless statement of verse 36 again. It was not only a horizontal thinking, but it was the hopeless. He said, what? All things are against me. That's horizontal thinking. I want you to know that not all things are against you. I want you to know that if God be for you, what's the difference? What's the difference? What happened if God is in charge and God is there to help you? So we see here the horizontal thinking. Then we see here the hopeless statement. I just don't have any hope. Everything is against me. I've lost Simeon. I lost Joseph. And now they want to take Benjamin away from me. Now we're going to find out how the brothers are going to react. Remember when the father Joseph or Jacob would who was his favorite son? Who was Jacob's favorite son? I just mentioned his name, Joseph. That's a hard one, isn't it? Huh? I gave you the answer. Now who's his favorite son? Benjamin. We're going to find out that he is going to treat the whole situation the way that he treated the situation with Joseph. But the boys are going to react differently to Benjamin than they did to Joseph, because God is working on their hearts. He is breaking them down. He's getting to the place of repentance. I not only see the horizontal thinking and the hopeless statement, all things are against me, but I see hurtful words here. Look there in verse 37 and 38. And Reuben spoke unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I'll bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with thee. But would you get verse 37 again? Let's read it again. Don't miss it. And Reuben, that's his son, said unto his father, slay my two sons. You know what he's saying? Go ahead and kill my grandkids. Those are my grandchildren. I've said this before. If I had life over again, I probably wouldn't have had children, just grandchildren. Why? Because as a grandparent, they're very, very special in your life. And here is hurtful words. You want to kill my grandchildren? Excuse me. What kind of a son are you? I'm reading between the lines in those white places on your Bible where God would be, he'd be thinking about hurtful words. Let me just say, go over to leave that portion for just a moment and travel with me to the book of Proverbs and go to the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs for just a moment, because some of the words we say are hurtful words. Have you not and I not said things, if we could take it back, we'd take those words and shove them back into our mouth? Look here, if you will, for two or three verses in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 12. Look at verse 18. And when I look at this, I see two kinds of words, hurtful words and helpful words in verse 18 of chapter 12 of Proverbs. This is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Now that's hurtful words. You ever been pierced by a sword? They're hurtful. Words are like that. But on contrast, notice what he says, but the tongue of the wise is health. So you have hurtful words and you have helpful words. I hope we're just be more concerned about using helpful words than hurtful words. Amen. He also says in verse 23 of the same chapter there, I think it's hang on just a minute. I'll be back with you eventually. Verse 25, I think it is. I lost the verse, so it's in the Bible. I lost it. God didn't lose it. Anyway, I didn't write it down. Try verse 23. Nope. Anyway, one day I'll give you those verses. I go to chapter 15, verse 28. Chapter 15, verse 28. Look there at a statement that's made there. Verse 28 here. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The mouth of the wicked just pours out evil things. You know what he's saying to us? We need to learn to study. Be sure that what we say are the right words when we're dealing with people and their emotions. Now Reuben's not that kind of a fella. He's one of his sons that's really got problems. And so we see here, we not only find a horizontal thinking, we find not only a hopeless, all things are against me, but hurtful words. And then I notice a hasty decision. How many besides me have ever made it a hasty decision and you look back and you say that was a dumb decision? Most of us. If I had to do good, I would not have made that decision. We need to think our decisions through. It is interesting, as you look here, as Jacob is speaking there in verse 42, and look there with me in verse 38. So Reuben speaks in verse 37 with hateful or hurtful words, and now we find a hasty decision. He said, my son shall now go up down with you. Benjamin's not going with you. Now that's a decision that's a little hasty here, because you find out later he says it's okay for him to go down. Why? Because he didn't think it through. He didn't think it through. And he said, there, I will let you go take him. Later on, he comes off of his stubbornness. But it was a hasty decision. Think our decisions through. We're thinking our decision, the pulpit committee is thinking it through very seriously. For your pastor, you pray for him. We'll have a prayer at the end of the service. So there was these, and there was harmful parenting too. Look at chapter 43, if you will, please. Look at verse 43. If you read those first, let's just take a moment to focus in these verses. And the Bible says in verse 1, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had bought out of Egypt, their father, that's Jacob, said unto them, go again, buy a little food. And Judah spoke unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest, this is their brother, they just not know who he is, to us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And now his name is Israel, but it's Jacob. Israel said, wherefore deal ye so with me, as to tell the man whether you had your brother? And they said, the man asked us stately our state and our kindred. You know what he's saying here when he said in verse 7, why did you tell him? You know what he's saying here? It would have been better for you to lie. Now, that's okay for him to do that because why didn't you just lie? By the way, if he was to be honest, he would have said, that's what I did. When my father asked me whether I was Esau or Jacob, be careful. You see here, that's harmful parenting. Never set your children up by doing something yourself that you would not want them to do. And the father said to Jacob, Jacob said to the boys, basically, I lied. Why did you not tell me? Do you ever hear somebody say, oh, that's just, I just told a little white lie. Do you ever hear that statement? There are no such thing as white lies. They're all as black as sin. We need to be understand the principle there. Then I find here, not only as Jacob is complaining, but he's horizontal thinking by his hopeless statement when he says, everything is against me. His hurtful words that Reuben said, and the hasty decision, he can't go down, but he can go down. I see those harmful parenting where his boys learned to lie because they got that from dad. Then I see a heartfelt response of one of the other brothers as I look there at Judah. Now, who a tribe did our Lord come from? Somebody yell it out, say it out. What tribe? Judah. There's simply a different reaction from Judah than there is from Reuben. And look at verse 8. And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. Now, would you underline the word lad there? That is something that they never referred to Joseph as. The word lad here is words of endearment. It is obvious that God is working in these boys' lives to get them to repent of their sins. And we'll find that they will do that later on. But we recognize and realize here that, look further with me, and we will rise and go that we may live and not die. Verse 8, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Now verse 9. Is a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who came from the tribe of Judah. For he said, I will be a surety for him if of my hand shall it require him. I will, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the iniquity forever. Would you note those words, let me bear the blame forever? Aren't you glad that's exactly what Christ did on Calvary's cross? He bore the blame for us forever. Isn't that good? That ought to make you Baptist-costal. Get excited that our Lord Jesus Christ did that for you and me. Took the blame forever. And every time that I sin and I make things right with God, I'm so thankful for that statement there, for he took it all and blame forever. I sinned, but he took the blame. And I say tonight, hallelujah for his. That is a heartfelt response of Judah, and forever he has done that. Look at chapter 43, verse 14, because we not only see these things that we've just mentioned, this horizontal thinking, this hopeless statement, this hurtful words, this hasty decision, harmful parenting, heartfelt response of Judah, but notice with me, a heavy burden there in verse 14, and I want you to get that. Look down in verse 13 picks up. Look at verse 13. Take also your brother, arise, go again unto the man. Now remember what we saw down in verse 38 of chapter 42, my son shall not go down with you. Now he's going down because that's God's arrangement. And I believe it was the brothers repenting, getting ready to make things right that affected Jacob. You realize your life and my life affects other people. We need to be careful what we say and what we do. So verse 14, And God Almighty give you mercy before the man that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. Now that would be good if that's all he said. Did you ever say something and then you tack on a stupid statement? You have it right here. After he made a good statement, God Almighty, give you mercy before the man that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. Then he says, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Oh, by the way, I just want you to know this is going to hurt me terribly. It's just a heavy burden as these boys are going off back down to Egypt and they will face Joseph. They're going there with a burden, the fact that if things don't work out right, their daddy will blame them forever. And I will be bereaved in sorrow all my life. That's a great responsibility that was placed on him. But now we come to Joseph's confrontation. Somebody said to me not too long, I don't like confrontation. Is there anybody here likes confrontation? Would you stand up? We want to know why you like confrontation. But sometimes confrontation is absolutely essential to correct problems. You can't have some problems corrected without confrontation. And we find Joseph confronting these boys. First of all, there's confrontation concerning the money. When you come to chapter 43, they're back down in Egypt. In verse 19, let's read it. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house. Now, they've got the money with them. They're bringing it back. And they communed with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came into the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money is full in weight, and we have brought it here again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food." We do. We're returning what we originally were to give you. We're bringing the rest of it with us. And we are dealing here. There's the confrontation of the money. These boys love money. How do I know? They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. They're going to learn a great lesson on money. Joseph is confronting them by his actions on the money. He is going to teach them a lesson. And it is the two things. There is the reproof in the reminder of the money. There's reproof. Now there are four ways. Joseph is reproving them. Reproving, not proving, reproving them. Because you like money, you sold me for 20 pieces of silver. And what he's doing is working on their conscience. It's amazing how God works on our conscience. Aren't you glad he does that? To help us come to the place of repentance. There are four ways. Joseph's got a problem with these boys, right? His brothers got a problem with them. Now, there are four ways to handle a problem. Number one, you could ignore it. Only problem is when you ignore a problem, what happens to it? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Another way is to run from it. Just take off and run from it. Unfortunately, your problem will catch up with you. The third way is to substitute another problem for the real problem. It's called the blame game. We know our government's doing that right now. We're blaming all the problems. Interesting that Hayden Biden, our president, is blaming Trump for all the problems that are in the present. See, substitute. Then here's the right way, confrontation. You just confront the problem. And you do it lovingly, graciously, and in the fear of God, and that is what he is doing. So he not only is reminding them of the money, it's going back. They're thinking, money, money. I'm sure they're thinking, 20 years ago. We wanted money. Now we got all this money, we can't get rid of it. I've never had that problem. Anybody here had so much money you couldn't get rid of it? And so he reproves them. So there's a confrontation without them even knowing it, but he's working on their conscience. He's working on bringing about a conviction to get them to see their sins. Then he brings out a confrontation concerning the mother of Benjamin. It's interesting here. Confrontation concerning Benjamin. It's interesting. I want you to see this. God knows all things. Amen? I want you to notice as you go to chapter 43, go down here to verse 30. And Joseph, after he sees Benjamin, look at verse 29. He lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin. Wow. Benjamin. His mother's son. So we see here, as he deals with this, the meeting concerning his mother's child. That would be his brother, Benjamin. The meeting. I want you to notice here in verse 30, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn on his brother. He sought somewhere where to weep, and he entered into his chambers, and he wept there. Joseph is a very wonderful, emotional person, wanting to do right. Have you ever wept over things in your life? I hope you have. Notice, if you will, please, several things here as we move down here and close this evening. Notice here the meeting for the meal. There's a meal about to be taken. God knows all things, right? Joseph is a picture of our Lord who knows everything. In verse 32, they set on him and they set on for him by himself. I'll try it again. He washed, verse 31, he washed his face and he went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves. For the Egyptians did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat with the Hebrews, for it is an abomination to the Egyptians. So first thing we notice is it's a family affair. The Egyptians will not eat with the Hebrews. You talk about prejudice. You think, I talked about that Wednesday night. You think we got prejudice today? It's always been. But notice not only the meeting of the family by themselves, but notice the mystery in the seating arrangement. And verse 33, and they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to the youth, and the men marveled at one another. He takes these brothers and he sets them right in the order that they were born around the table. I mean, it was Reuben and then on down the line until you get to Benjamin. Now that has some mystery. They didn't know what he was doing. I mean, if you're just going to sit 12 people and you don't know exactly the ages of when one was born, you just set them, you'd never come up with that arrangement. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God knows all things. And he arranged the seating for a reason, as you see here. Then I want you to notice here, in that mystery of the seating arrangement, I want you to notice the meeting of the special treatment given to this one boy. They're doing this for a reason. Joseph knows what he's doing. Look at verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of them, and they drank and were merry with him. Now get the text. Who gets most of the food? Benjamin. Who's Benjamin? He is the guy that's related to the guy who is the prime minister, who was mistreated by the brothers But notice what it says. They were making merry. All of them were making merry. God was dealing with them, and they are coming to the place where they're no longer committing the terrible sin of jealousy. They're glad that Benjamin is being treated that way. Would it have been better if they would have done the same thing to Joseph? But God allowed that. So Joseph would be where he was in the story. And then as I come to chapter 44, again, we look there and we see the miracle of a change. When you got saved, that was a miracle. You got changed. Amen? Now, when little ones get saved in a Christian home, we don't observe the same change as we do when we're saved as adults and we're no longer doing those wicked things as we used to. Although they're going to change too. God's going to change them. Boy, is there a change among the brothers. God is dealing with them. I want you to notice the concealment of the silver here in those first 13 verses of chapter 43. Now, after the dinner, they're going back home, and guess what happens? Money. It's back there. They can't get rid of this money. The more they try to get rid of money, the more it keeps showing up. Boy, you're thinking, I wished I had that problem. Not under these circumstances would you ever want that problem. And we find in those first 13 verses, this time the money is basically given to Benjamin. It's in his sack. It's hid. Its money is hid there. And look at verse 12. After they left, they send somebody to check on him. And he searched him again at the eldest and left the youngest, and the cup, which is money, it was valuable, was found in whose sack? Benjamin's sack. Uh-oh. In the old days, what brothers would have said, you're right, he's guilty. You take him, we're going back home. There's a change of heart here. And I want to tell you something. If your heart tonight needs to be changed, as these brothers' hearts were changed, let God change your heart. Let him do it. Because God will keep working until you're willing to let him change your heart. And the money was found, the gold cup was the same as money, very valuable. Then I want you to notice verse 14, because here we see the confession of their sin. Look at verse 14 down to 17. Once again, Judah speaks. Remember Benjamin spoke and he blew it? He said, it's okay, Dad. We'll go back down, and if they don't, if things aren't work out, you just go ahead and kill our boys. That'd be like killing those little precious kids right there. That's not a very good dad. But Judah is different. In verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. They're back there. They took off to go back home to be with Dad, not knowing that the cup was in that sack. For he, then Joseph there in verse 14, his brethren came to Judah to Joseph's house, where he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? What are you not to such as man I could certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? Get these words, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Now we know he wasn't referring to stealing the money or stealing the cup, because they didn't do any of those. It was God was bringing to their mind what they did to their brother years ago, and is now coming home, and change is about to take place. Thy servants, behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, Joseph, he shall be my servant. As for you, get ye up in peace into your father. Then Judas came near unto him, said, O my Lord, verse 18, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak the words of my Lord's ears, and let not my anger burn against thy servants, for thou art even as Pharaoh. By the way, boys, Joseph tried to tell you he's going to be, you're all going to bow to me. Now you're bowing down to me. But I want you to see something here. They have such a burden to save the life of Benjamin. They want Benjamin to go back home. That's not them with Joseph. But the dad is reacting the same way to Benjamin that he did Joseph. He's my favorite son now. There's brokenness here. And I tell you, it's a blessing to see the brokenness that there, the change that took place. And I want you to notice the comments of a changed brothers. There are 8 times I've circled them, underlined them, highlighted, whatever way I've highlighted mine. You find the word lad. They're not calling him just his brother. They're calling him the lad. It's a word of endearment. I've already mentioned that. All of a sudden, Benjamin becomes so special. You see, that's the evidence of a changed life. They're not going to treat Benjamin the way they treated Joseph. They don't know they're talking to Joseph, but if they had to do over again, they wouldn't have treated Joseph that way, treated him the way they're treating Benjamin now. That's change. That's repentance. And then I want you to notice the compassion they had for their father as well. Not only there was the concern for the lad, but look at verse 27. And thy servant, he's speaking to Joseph, and thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me 2 sons. One went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. That ought to be bothering the boys' hearts. Because they lied to their dad, saying Joseph was dead. If you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So there's not only a concern for the lad, but there's a compassion for the father. They haven't had that compassion before. They hated their brother because they were going to get everything from that. They thought they were going to lose out what dad's inheritance. I hope you don't love somebody for money. They loved their dad for the money he was going to give them. But all of a sudden, there's a change. All of a sudden, there's not only a concern for the lad, 8 times the word lad is there, but there's a compassion for the father. They're thinking differently. We don't want him to sorrow. We don't want him to do that. I recently had my son and Lisa, my daughter-in-law, visiting us. And it was just a blessing that Tim just couldn't do enough for us. Lisa couldn't do enough for us. Made me feel so good. They're coming back in June. Boy, do I have a list for them to do. But I want to tell you something. That's the way it ought to be to your parents. That's the way you ought to look to them. You want them to do things for you. You want them to know you love them. Compassion, as you mentioned in your statement, your dad's a great guy. Great guy. Your mother's okay, too. Love your mama, too. So, and there is a choice that is made here as we close tonight. And verse 33, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide still instead of the lad. In other words, exchange Benjamin for me. Let me stay. There's a big change. Big change. Before, Judah wanted to sell him. Matter of fact, he thought of killing him. Joseph, when he was the boy. Aren't you glad today there's a change? For how shall I go up, verse 34, to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. A change. There is a major change concerning the lad, concerning his father, And now there's a choice he makes. I will take his place. By the way, this is Judas speaking. Jesus Christ took our place. And he became one who became a servant and a slave for you and me on Calvary's cross. So next time, we're going to look at the meeting. I love chapter 45 because that's the day the brothers, everybody meets, and they have a family reunion, none like it, I think, recorded in Scripture. I'm looking for that family reunion there. We all get to heaven and spend that time with our Lord. Let us stand for a moment and pray.